I want to begin by asking you to think about pride and humility. Think about pride and humility as it perhaps is found in you. You probably know that there is a verse that says that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I suspect that during the course of your journey, you've had to deal with issues of pride in your own life. If you've never had to deal with pride, I have a suggestion about an area where you might find pride at work. Pride can show up. Pride can be expressed in our relationships with each other, can it? So how about a few ways where pride shows up in relationships with each other? A few ways where pride can get expressed in relationship to each other. How might pride get expressed? If I'm proud, how might that pride get expressed in relationship to, say, Carl? So some thoughts. How does pride get expressed in human relationships? You're all looking humble. How do you express pride? How might I express my pride in relationship to Carl? Let me get you started. I might say, well, I've done more than Carl, right? Or done better than Carl. Petty.
The issues in your life are more important than the issues in Carl.
Yeah, you know, the issues in my life are more important than the issues in Carl's life. How else might pride get expressed?
None of the issues in my life are my fault.
None of the issues in my life, unlike Carl's, are my fault. Okay. So, okay, that's not my fault. Other ways where pride might get expressed.
Your son is 6'4", but his son is only 6'3".
Right. Yeah, so some type of claim to my people are better than his people. My position is superior to his position. I'm always a little bit higher, a little bit better, a little bit faster. A little bit more, right? That's how pride gets expressed. Any other thoughts?
I'm a little bit different. I'm not going to ask Carl for any help because I don't want him to know I don't know anything.
Okay, it's taken for granted that you know a lot more than Carl, so you're not going to ask him for any help because, you know, what could he possibly know that you didn't know? Okay,
well, that's true. I don't
have him see any weakness. Pride can also show up, of course, in our relationship not to each other, but to God. Pride can be expressed in relationship to God. But I think pride in relationship to God often gets expressed a little bit differently than with other people. Few tend to say that they've done more than God has done. I might say I've done more than Carl, but I'm not likely to say I've done more than God. And I'm not likely to say I've done better than God. Few make the claim that even though God exists, I'm more important than him. Few in their pride make that type of claim that, yes, God exists, but I'm more important than God. Few would say that their place, the place I occupy, surpasses the place that God occupies. So some of the things that I might say in pride in relationship to one of you, I'm not likely to say quite those same things in relationship to God. So how does pride get expressed in relationship to God? If I'm a proud person in my relationship to God, how might that show up? Thoughts there?
I think we try and tell God how to do things. Or at least I do sometimes. Instead of waiting,
Okay, give God some suggestions about how he could do things better.
Yeah.
Okay. So the demand is on our side about what he should do.
That I don't need God for this, I can take care of myself.
Okay, that I don't need God. Even if he's in a higher place, even if he's more talented or skilled than I am, I don't need God, I can take care of it myself. Okay, that's good. Anything else?
I'm more merciful than God.
Okay, so some type of claim that even in God-like qualities, you might surpass him a little bit. I'm more merciful than he is. Okay. Anybody else? I mean, probably maybe something similar to what Sue said that can be expressed in a pride to each other, but that idea of almost like Mary, I'm not going to ask him. I don't want his help. So an attempt at independence from God is often how pride gets expressed, isn't it, in relationship to God. I'm going to do it on my own. I'll handle matters apart from him. I'll handle matters without him. Did you have something?
I'd love to study his word and read it and really know him better. But I'm kind of busy and I've got this project and that project. And, you know, I put things ahead of what really should honor him.
Oh, okay. So putting, Lord, take a number, I'll get to you as soon as I have time type of thing. So not having to be, occupy a God-like place in your own life, in your own schedule, in your own priorities, something like that, okay?
Roger, I think assigning blame to God, either maybe not for holding up his end of the deal, or why does God take responsibility as the creator for the fallen state of everything here?
Oh, okay, so can you, what Jackie said, you might have some ideas of how he can do it better, but also he's got to own up to a few places where he's fallen short and not done a very good job by his creation or something like that. So pride can show up in our relationship to God. And it often shows up as a rejection, as a spurning of whatever he might offer, whatever he might say, whatever he might be willing to give and say. In my pride, I say, God, I'm not interested. I want you to keep that in mind as we consider the topic for today. I want us to consider just a phrase that's found multiple times in the scripture. I want us to consider the phrase, taking refuge in God. Sometimes that gets articulated in scripture as taking refuge in the shadow of God's wings, in the shadow of the Almighty. So this kind of verse, you know, the children of men take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. Let's just think about that phrase, that concept of taking refuge in God. I want you to think about taking refuge in God's shadow, in God's shade, dwelling in the shade of the Almighty. Dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, of finding shelter under God's wings. We're doing a series on shade plants, considering things that need shade in order to grow and flourish. The last couple of weeks, we've talked about a couple areas where we need both a large plant that can grow out in direct sun, seeking the kingdom of God as a large plant, grow right out in the sun, having the hope of resurrection, the large plant, grow right out there in the sun. So we talked about having that large plant in our garden, but then we've talked of plants that can grow in the shade of those larger plants. If you have that large plant of seeking first the kingdom in the shade of it, can grow a plant about not being anxious about tomorrow, letting tomorrow's cares take care of itself. If you have that large plant of having the hope of resurrection, what's God's going to do in the future? In the shade of that can grow a plant that's called being steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Today I want to tweak that picture a little bit and ask if it might not be wise to consider your very person and to consider all of your living. Might it not be wise to think of your person and all of your living as a shade plant? That you yourself should be a shade plant. That all of your living should be done in the shade. For you to be you, you need to realize that you are a shade plant. For you to live life well, you need to do your living in the shade. The passages that speak of taking refuge in God, of living in his shadow, those passages generate a set of images. And I wonder how you respond to the images generated by taking refuge in God. So start right there. Take refuge in God. Is that a wise and a strong thing to do? refuge in God? Do you know a desirable and good place when you see it? Or is that a weak and silly thing to do? I mean, you're going to be a refugee? You're going to run home to God? You're going to ask Him to protect you? Taking refuge in God. Is that a positive image or does that have some negative overtones? God being a hiding place for you. We just sang about it. Are you doing a righteous and a good thing if you find a hiding place in God? Or are you being weak and scared? What, you're going to hide behind God? You can't do it yourself? You need a hiding place? Dwelling in the shadow of His wings. Is that a protected in a safe place? Or is it, are you always going to be taking cover under God? You know, you're going to be running for cover when God? What, you can't fight your own battles? You're going to be in the shadow of His wings? Being in God's shadow, is that desirable and delightful for you? Desirable prospect? Or does it sound restricted and repressive? Are you going to live in His shadow all the time? You're going to do all your living in His shadow? Just in the shadow of God? I mean, if I said that, you're always going to be in Phil's shadow? Get out and live a little bit. You always want to live in God's shadow? I began by just asking us how pride can be expressed. I think pride in us can get expressed in relationship to God. Not by claiming that we're more important than God, not by claiming that we're better than God, not by claiming that we're superior to God in some ways, but pride can get expressed by refusing to take refuge in Him. By saying, I'm not going to live in His shadow. I'm not going to take refuge in Him. I don't want to be a refugee. I don't want to shelter under His wings. I'm not going to hide in Him every time I'm afraid. Every time something scary comes up, I'm just going to run, take cover in Him. One of the ways pride can be expressed is just by refusing to kind of, we sing it, of course, but just refusing in practice and in heart to take refuge in Him, to dwell under the shelter of His wings. Actually, I think a profitable way to think about Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. They were sick of taking refuge in God every day in the afternoon. We want to be out on our own. Perhaps a profitable way of thinking of temptation that Adam and Eve felt. You want to be in refuge in God? I just want to live in His fancy garden all the time where He's providing everything, comes to fellowship, makes sure everything's okay. Or do you want to be like Him? You know, be like the Most High. What does it mean to take refuge? Somebody could be a good friend to me. Somebody could be a mentor to me. Somebody could be a teacher to me. Somebody could be a leader to me. Somebody could be a companion to me. But it doesn't mean I take refuge in that person. You could be a good friend. I could be a good friend to you. But it doesn't mean I take refuge in you necessarily, does it? Or vice versa. Sometimes we say things like, I seek refuge in money, or I seek to find refuge in my talent. Well, what do we mean when we say, I'm seeking refuge in talent or money? People get labeled refugees. People that get labeled refugees are usually seeking refuge in a country, in a nation. And what does that mean, that they're seeking refuge in some country? I think to take refuge means that you want whatever you're taking refuge in to stand between you and everything else. That's what it means to take refuge. And whatever you take refuge in, you want that thing, that person, to stand between you and everything else. If I take refuge in my big brother, I want my big brother to be between me and everything else. The bullies in the neighborhood, perhaps, right? And when I take refuge in something, You're going to have to go through that something in order to get to me. Right? When I take refuge in my big brother, when my big brother is my refuge, you're going to have to go through my brother to get to me. If I'm taking refuge in money or taking refuge in a country, I'm hoping my money or my country can deal with whatever it is that wants to get to me. You're going to have to go through my money. You're going to get past that in order to get to me. You have to get past my country in order to get to me. Taking refuge in God means that you want God to be between you and everything else. And it means that anything that before it can get to you has to go through God in order to get to you. That's what it means to take refuge in God. He stands between you and everything else, and anything to get to you has to go through Him. You ever, when you were a kid and your parents went away, and then you started hearing all the funny noises, the scary noises? Those noises make you scared. You wonder what's out there. And then finally your parents come home, and perhaps you literally ran and took shelter by them. You wanted to hug mom or hug dad, stand right next to them. Whatever is out there might still be out there. You know, mom and dad didn't get rid of whatever's generating the funny noises or the sounds, whatever's out there. But now you know whatever's out there is going to have to go through my mom and dad to get to me. You're pretty confident mom and dad are going to be adequate to whatever's out there. So it's not able to get to me. That's what taking refuge, your parents, is like. So taking refuge in God, I want Him. I want God, I want the Almighty, to be between me and everything else. And you can't get to me unless you go through God. I want to identify a couple of things that grow well when you take refuge in God. When you dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, a couple of things that grow well in the human person, in the human life. So we're going to look at just the opening verses of Psalm 91. Here's how the psalm begins. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. The first thing that grows well in the shadow of the Almighty is protection. The Lord as a refuge can protect me, can protect you. Protect you from those who are out to get you, who want to ensnare you, who want to trap you, who want to catch you somehow, and protection from anything that could hurt you. It's very possible to spend a good deal of life getting caught in things and getting run over by things. It's very easy to spend a good deal of life. You're either caught in something or getting run over by something. You're caught up in circumstances, caught up in trivial pursuits, addicted to this, addicted to that. Could be bad stuff, could be pornography, but it could be just your physical appearance. Could be online shopping. It could be news of the financial sector. You're just caught up in that. But just caught up in things, you know, trapped by things, ensnared by things. It's also possible then to also get run over. Run over by other people, run over by problems, run over by change, run over by need. Ask your friends sometimes, if you spend a good time trying to get me off the road so I don't end up as roadkill, that might be a sign that I spend a lot of time getting run over by things. When all of you are always trying to get Roger off the road so he doesn't get killed on the road again. You know, gets run over by something else. So caught up in things, run over by things. Of course, many people don't think they need any protection. They feel that they can handle any threat, deal with any danger, are adequate to any attack. They're adequate to any storm that can come, equal to any enemy that might show up. They feel no need to have God as a refuge. Feel no need to take shelter in his shadow. But life is different. It really is. Life is different if something has to go through God in order to get to you. Suppose I was mad at you, and I'm going to come knock on your door, and I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. So I bang on your door, and rather than you open the door, God does. Who are you? I'm the Almighty. Why are you here? So-and-so's taking refuge in under my wings. Oh. Well, I was thinking of saying some things, but I'm reconsidering my position. They're hiding under you, the Almighty. I might temper what I was going to say a little bit. You know, they're taking shelter in God. So life is different. You have to go through God in order to get to you. If you're a trapper, if you're somebody who wants to ensnare, but you have to go through God, I'm not sure the trap will be very effective. I'm not sure the snare will catch quite so easy. Things that can hurt, things that can run you over. If it has to go through God, it might get flattened rather than flatten you, right? If God defends, God guards you, if God is a fortress for you, you will be protected. Grows well in the shade of the Almighty. So that's the first thing, protection. From things that can catch you, from things that can hurt you. A second thing, here's the next verses in Psalm 91. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. The second thing that grows well in the shade of the Almighty, that grows well in the shadow of God's wings, is security and safety. I want you to note these words. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Many people live in fear. Paralyzed by fear, tormented by fear, hounded by fear, controlled by fear, directed by fear. Fear determines the course of their living. The things they say, the places they go, the relationship they keep, it's driven by fear. They're afraid. We can easily be people where a large percentage of what we do is determined and driven by fear. There are things that can make us afraid at night, right? There are the terrors by night. There's the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. The scary movies would be a lot harder to make if you could only shoot in daylight, right? Trying to make a scary movie and only shoot in daylight. But when it gets dark, there's a lot of things that go bump in the night. They can be scary. The terrors of the night. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness. So there are things that can make us afraid at night. But there are also things that can make us afraid during the day. There's the arrow that flies by day. Just that thing that shoots you down. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you want to stay in bed? Because you're afraid of what you have to face in the daylight that day. Afraid of things that are going to get shot at you that day. So there's the arrow that flies by day to shoot you down. And there's the destruction that lays waste at noon. There's the thing that wrecks it. Do you ever feel like no matter what I do, no matter what's going on, something always wrecks it? Maybe the same thing wrecks it over and over again. Maybe some person, some neighbor, some relative. That person's always wrecking it for me. You know, maybe it's something different each time. But something always wrecks it. Something always causes the destruction of the thing. So it never seems to quite work out the way you were hoping or dreaming or thinking. You know, there's always the destruction that lays waste right in the middle of the day. Whether things go bump in the night, terrors of the night, or things that make us afraid that happen in broad daylight, shoot us down, wreck things. The outcome of that is that we become people who live in fear of those things. We live in fear of the things that can be at night, the scary things at night. You live in fear of what can happen and does happen during the day. Fear can be so pervasive and so corrosive. I feel like I have met people where fear is so pervasive, such a constant companion to them, that eventually they know no other reality. They think to be alive means to be afraid. It's like synonyms. It's the same thing. To be alive is to be afraid. They've never known anything else except when you're alive, you're afraid. It just colors all of life all of the time. And it's so corrosive because it steals things. Steals goodness, steals gladness, steals delight. It breeds on righteousness, breeds on holy things. So it corrodes and destroys a lot of things. One of the things that grows well in the shadow of the Almighty's wings is be not afraid. Be not afraid. Whatever kinds of things make you afraid, you might do fine at night. It's the arrow that flies by day. It's the things that your boss might shoot at you tomorrow that scares you, or your neighbor. It's the family member who's always wrecking things for you, always wrecking your grand plan. So you might do fine by night, and it's the day things that trouble you and make you afraid. It might be reverse. You're fine during the day. But those things that make noises in the night, the thing that stalks, that scares you. You don't know where it is, where it's coming from, what it's doing, when it's going to show up. That's scary. But whether it's day or night, living in the shadow, living in the shade of the Almighty, security, safety grows well there. I am not afraid. There's a lot out there that can get to you. There's a lot out there that can hurt you. There's a lot of things that can make you afraid. You have to decide whether you want to take it on all by yourself. You have to decide whether you want to be out there in the direct sun. Bring it on. Throw at me your best shot. I'm going to take it on. Deal with the enemies. No deal with the terrors. If he wants to knock me down, I'll see if I can knock it down. I'm going to deal with it myself. Fight my own battles. Or you have to decide, do you want to live in the shade? You want to take refuge in the shadow of the Almighty. And say, all those things, God is between me and all those things. And they have to get past him before they can get to me. Yes, I'm a refugee. Yes, I run for cover. Yes, I hide. I run into the tower. I'm not ashamed to say I take refuge in God. I'm not ashamed to say whenever I'm afraid, he's a hiding place for me. I hide in him. That God can be a tower of protection, that God can be a refuge in his strength, that's not the issue. God can certainly be a tower of refuge and strength. The issue is whether you are going to take refuge in him. That's the issue. Are you willing to dwell in the shade, in the shadow of his wings? Pride would say no to that. Pride does say no to that. I'm going to be independent. I'm going to be my own refuge. But try to be your own refuge. Try to take refuge in something less than God. Here's a couple of plants that won't grow very well. You won't feel very protected. You won't be very safe or secure. You'll be afraid. You know, if I take refuge in myself, I won't get to be very protected because there's forces and powers out there bigger and stronger and tougher than me. Death, for one, if you're looking for examples. And if I try to take refuge in myself or in something less than God and money in the United States, I'll have reason to still be afraid because things in the night and things in the day that can hurt me, I can't buy them all off with money, even if I had a lot of it. But take refuge in Him. Dwell in the shadow, under His wings. Here's a couple of things that grow well. You'll be protected. You won't get caught. You won't get captured by things out to get you. You won't get hurt by things that can wound and things that can harm. And you'll be safe and secure. You will not need to be afraid. Won't be afraid of things in the night. Won't be afraid of things that come in the day. You won't have to live in fear. So if you want those plants in your garden, they grow well for the one who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of His wings. So if you want those plants, that's where they grow. Hope that stirs your thought, makes you willing, causes you to lay aside pride and humble yourself. Yeah, I'm okay if God answers the door on my behalf. You know, and says, yes, Roger takes refuge in me. I'm a shield and a bulwark for him. What is it that you wanted? What is it that you wanted to say? I wanted to hurt him. No, I don't want him to be hurt. I wanted to scare him. I don't want him to be afraid. I want to live there. Hopefully you do too. Let's close in prayer. Father, we read the words, sing the songs. Father, often our mind and heart are worn by the concept. But Father, we pray that our pride, our desire to be independent, Father, our desire to be like You, Father, to be our own God, direct our own course, get our own way, be sufficient unto ourselves. Father, we pray that our pride would not get in the way of being people who take refuge in You. Father, who hide in You. Father, who dwell, Father, in the shadow of Your wings. Father, I would pray for each one here, Father, who would truly say to You, You are my refuge and strength. Father, that You would cause, Father, in that person's life, just to grow that plant of protection, that plant of safety and security. That You would keep, Father, each one from harm, from hurt, from those who would ensnare, those who would capture, Father, those who would lead astray and distract, and those things that would trip up, Father, and lead astray, Father, and all those things that would, Father, cause fear, cause walking in fear, perspective of fear and response of fear. Father, that under the shelter of Your wings, Father, all of us might find the safety and the security that's found only in You. So, Father, we say to You that You are a refuge. but you are our strength. Our boast is in you, through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.